Hey everyone, it's Lena and it's another Tuesday. I want to say hello from Chicago and I want to welcome you to our podcast in a series I've called Unshaken, Standing Strong in the Heat of the Battle. And I don't know what battle you're facing today, but many of us are facing a battle with sin. And I think today's lesson is going to be good for you. I've called it Faith When It's My Fault and I Know It. And sin has a way of creeping into the Christian's life. And when it does, it can cause great havoc. We see that in no better than the life of Samson. Samson was this man, remember him with the long hair, Samson and Delilah, and he consistently fell into a pattern of sin. It's like he couldn't get out of it. And it was sad because he had so much going on for him in his life. He was a son who was promised to a barren couple. And God showed up to them and said, you're going to have a son. And he said, don't cut his hair because he is going to be special. And the couple so were moved by God's word of prophecy that they built him an altar and worshipped him. And I love chapter 13 of Judges after this interaction between God and Manoah and his wife. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name so that when your words come true, we may honor you? This is a God-fearing couple. It says, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain and offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. And I find so much in life that we start off with these great hopes. You know, like you first came to Christ and you thought this is going to be an awesome journey with the Lord. And then you took your next breath and you had sin creep into your life. And the reality is that just because you gave your life to Jesus, you doesn't mean that you've been freed from sin. Now you are dead to sin. But the problem with us is that we don't reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. And so we spend much of our life struggling with being slaves to sin. And in Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7, Paul does a better job of explaining to that than anybody else in the world. And so if you want to understand how to overcome sin, that is a great section to read. But I want to start with this thought, because here's Samson. He was born with this promise that he would just be God's man, that he would be great for God. And literally, chapter 14, just a handful of verses after what I just read you, it says that Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. And he goes to his parents, he's like, I want to marry her. And they're like, but God doesn't want you to marry a foreigner. And he insists on his way. And that was just the beginning of his woes. So the first thought for you today is this: sin is always my fault. Remember, the title of today's message is Faith When It's My Fault and I Know It. Well, sin is always my fault. So it's easy to be like, well, it's not really my, you know, Adam and Eve tried the game of switching the blame. Eve was like, it's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault. Adam was like, it's not my fault, it's Eve's fault. Look, the Bible says that we are all sinners. You are at fault for the sin in your life, just like I'm at fault for the sin in my life. And whether you're at fault or I'm at fault, the good news is that there's hope for our sin. But the first step is to recognize that you and I are at fault for the sin in our life. Now, I didn't make that up. You may be listening, never having heard a Bible lesson before, and you may think that man is basically good. I can't tell you how often people tell me that. I believe man is good. Woman is good. And I laugh because I'm a pediatrician, and I go in the ER, and I see these kids, and those little two-year-olds can be like little devils. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm not being mean, but these guys are nuts. And I look at them sometimes, and I want to be like, who ever said that humans are good? Because even that 1 and 2 year old have made their way to consistently manipulating and doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing. Sin comes naturally to us. And the Bible, of course, in Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David in Psalms 14 says that there's no one who's good, no, not one. And but when I think about sin, I think this: I choose to sin even though I know better. This is the problem with sin, is that, so here's Samson. He's born in a Christian home. You know, I'm modernizing the language, but basically his parents are God followers and they brought him up in the ways of the Lord. I mean, his whole birth was a miracle. And so I imagine that he grew up hearing the truth of who God is and what God wanted. And as soon as he came of age, what does he do? He goes the other way. See, I choose to sin even though I know better. That's the tragedy of sin. But even more, I persist in sin even though I'm warned against it. That's what I find tragic in my life. It's not that I don't know it. It's that I keep on doing it. And I know better. and sin is always my fault. And so Samson developed that pattern, of course, in Judges 14. Then we see him again in Judges 16. He goes down and sees Delilah, but there's this pattern that he loved women that he wasn't supposed to have. And, you know, even though in this particular story today, we're talking about really a sexual sin and lust and wanting what is not yours, but really this is the essence of sin, is I want what I want. And I want it right now, regardless of what God wants. And I'm going to do anything in my ability to get it. And that could be a material thing. It could be a relational thing. It could be sexual. But sin is choosing my way over God's way. And so that's point number two, actually. Sin is always choosing my desires over God's best. That's what sin is. It's saying, God, I don't trust you, God. I don't trust that your plan is best. I know the way, and I'm going to do anything I can to get it. And by the way, when it comes to salvation and embracing God's truth of the gospel, that's the heart of the problem for us, is we're born sinners, and God says, you're born sinners, and there is a way to get out of your sin, and it is through my son, Jesus Christ. That's God's plan and his word. What we do, we come to God, and so many people, I mean, I talk with people daily, and they're like, well, I don't believe that. And so in essence, what those people are saying are, my way is the right way, and God's way is the wrong way. And that's why they don't know the Lord as their Savior. And so what is it that you think is gonna save you from your sin? You might think it's good works. Well, the Bible says that it is not by works that you're saved. Maybe you think it's because you're born in a Christian home. Well, that doesn't wash either. Maybe you think that salvation is whoever God that you believe in. It doesn't matter which God. You can just kind of choose your God, and as long as you honor that person, that God, then you're okay. Well, that is against the Bible. The Bible in 2 Timothy says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus himself said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so sin is always choosing my desires and my ways over God's best. So the first step is to accept God's ways for salvation. But then when you come to him for salvation, what happens after that is now you know you have eternal life because you embrace Jesus as your Savior. But what happens to us Christians is that the very next battle that we face is this battle of daily surrender. Is it my way or is it God's way? And that can happen with things that are bad for us, but I've seen the battle consistently with things that we think are good for us, but we want it to happen in our time and in our way, when God may be saying, not now, maybe not ever, and not this way. And so sin is when you say, well, God, I respect you, but I'm not going to obey you. Well, that's ridiculous, because if you don't obey him, you don't respect him, you don't love him. And in 1 John, we're told that to love God is to obey him. And so sin is always my fault. Sin is always choosing my desires over God's best. There's no trust. I brought up Genesis 3 and the battle between Adam and Eve and their desires. And the problem with Adam and Eve is that they wanted the fruit. They didn't trust God. They decided to use their own wisdom, and they listened to the evil one, the serpent. And in Samson's case, his parents were speaking truth in his life. They said, you shouldn't marry this Philistine. And yet he was like, in fact, I'm not making it up. In Judges chapter 14, his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you must go take away from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. That is sin right there. I want her, and I want her right now, and I don't care what anybody says. And that is a problem. Now, point number three, faith when it's my fault and I know it. We talked about sin is always my fault. Sin is always choosing my desires over God's best. And then sin always has consequences. Always. And you may not see it right away. See, I believe with all my heart that Samson thought that he was getting away with it. Because when he married the Philistine the first time, there was a whole, you know, Jerry Springer thing. I don't have time to read all of the passage, but nonetheless, he still beat the Philistines in a war that they had, and he still came out of it kind of on top, and he maintained his strength. Remember, he had long hair because it was the way that God had promised strength for him, and he was still doing these great feats for God. I really wonder if Samson thought he was going to get away with it. But my pastor, I used to go to church at Harvest Bible Chapel, and my pastor, James McDonald, used to say, choose to sin, choose to suffer. And he is right on the money. I mean, here's Samson. He makes his choice to sin. Well, for a while, maybe he thought he was getting away with it, but then you get to Judges 16, and he sees Delilah, and he still thinks he's going to get away with it. But, of course, this time, God's plan was to show him that his consequences were catching up with him. And so he ends up fessing up to Delilah in a moment of lust, that his hair was a source of his strength. They shave off his locks. And in chapter 16, verse 21, the Philistines seized Samson and gouged out his eyes. Ouch. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in prison. Look, are you continuing in your pattern of sin, even though you know that you shouldn't do it? Don't think that you're going to be the exception. Don't think that you're going to get away with it and not get caught. See, I think we sometimes treat sin like speeding. We figure, first of all, it's not that big a deal. Secondly, everybody else around us is speeding, so it's not a big deal if I'm speeding too. And thirdly, we figure we'll be the exception to the rule. And then, number four, we think that even if I get pulled over, I'll walk, I'll talk my way out of it. How silly we are, aren't we? In the first place, the reason we shouldn't be speeding has less to do with the ticket and more to do with our own safety. But see, we're too arrogant to understand that. So when it comes to sin, we just think, well, I'll get out of it. I won't suffer the consequences. And just like Samson, eventually, if we persist in sin, we find ourselves walking around the mill in the prison with our eyes gouged out, suffering incredible pain. You might be listening to this podcast and be suffering some incredible pain in your life today because of the sin in your life. I'm urging you, please don't keep going that way. Brings me to the last point, and really it's that point of turn. Sin is always met with grace when you sincerely repent of it. Sin is always met with grace when you sincerely repent of it. Do you know it takes faith to repent? It takes faith that God's goodness is greater than your worst sin. It takes faith to believe that God is going to accept you. And yet, 1 John 1:9 is clear. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've never met the Lord and you're like, man, 1 John is written to Christians, but if you've never met the Lord, I got to back up even a little bit more and share with you verses of good news. Like Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know that it takes faith to believe that? But God has given us faith. He's the one who gives us faith to begin with. My favorite salvation verses are Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. I don't know if you've ever heard them before, but I'm going to read them to you. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, God has given you the gift of faith. Even now, you may be listening to this and be like, I see myself in Samson. I have insisted on my way, and I have suffered the consequences, and I recognize that it's my fault. It's not because I didn't know any better. I know in my soul that what I'm doing is wrong, and I need help, and I need salvation. Well, listen, sin is always met with grace when you sincerely repent of it. And so here, let me bring us back to Samson here. It's Samson spent day after day after day walking around the prison mill. I told you how his eyes were gouged out in Judges 16, verse 21. Well, we get to verse 22. It says, but the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And right there, we see the picture of grace. God was at work in Samson's heart. It says that there was a party and the Philistines wanted to bring Samson out. It says, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. So they were mocking Samson, who was symbolic of God Almighty. Here's this man who's supposed to be the judge of Israel. And the people, the Philistines, looked at Samson and says, our God has given our enemy into our hand. And they got drunk. And they said in verse 25, call Samson that he may entertain us. What? How tragic is this story? So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars, and Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. See, the Philistines didn't know what was happening in Samson's heart. And some of you, you're living your life, and God is at work in your heart. And just like Samson, there's something happening, and the people who are watching you may not know it yet. They may not see it. But in verse 28 of Judges 16, we see exactly what was going on in Samson's heart. It says that Samson called to the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, oh God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. It says that Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson says, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. This is a crazy story, and it amazes me that later on in Hebrews 11, Samson is listed as a man of faith. In verse 32 of Hebrews 11, it says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms." It goes on to say they were made strong out of weakness. Listen, if you want strength in the heat of the battle and you're dealing with sin, the only way to get there is by repenting of your sin and recognizing who God is. There came a point in Samson's life, albeit in our perspective late in the game, and yet God still used it for God's glory and Samson's good. Somehow God still redeemed Samson's life, but in that moment Samson got to that place with his eyes gouged out where he said, "God, you are God, I was wrong, you are right, and I turn it over to you and I repent." That's what he was saying in those verses. And God, in his mercy and in his grace, met Samson. And his story was changed from one of heartbreak and agony to one of joy and of faith. Listen, you may be walking a path right now where you need faith, despite the fact that it's your fault and you know it. I'm telling you, it's yours when you turn to God in repentance. His grace will pour over your life. So I'm praying that God gives you that grace and that you have the boldness to say, "God, I repent." Now, this has been a heavy lesson. I know it. The story of Samson is in Judges. You can go home, you can take some time and read it, or you can just let the Spirit work on your heart and get to that place where you say, "God, I agree." And I pray that God will be giving you great victory over your areas of sin. If you need me to pray for you, or if you have questions about anything, please send me an email, lena@livingwithpower.org. You can always find more resources for your growth on my website, livingwithpower.org. We are here to serve you. We love you, and this ministry team is on your side. We want you to see. We want to see you flourish, and we'll meet again next week. I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I hope that you will live in victory, strong in the heat of the battle. Talk to you later, guys.